I was thinking back on my childhood years this week. I think Christmas is a time that sort of evokes those kind of memories an awful lot back to childhood, especially when we have children and we're now taking the role that our parents did for so many years. And I would guess it would be safe to say that during our childhood years, most of us had things handed down to us from time to time. If you had older siblings, perhaps you had clothes handed down to you. If you were a boy, hopefully it wasn't from an older sister. That could bring about some pretty long scars, I think. But I remember having toys handed down to me that my older brothers had, and I couldn't wait until they were mine. Clothes were handed down. I remember a bike one time being handed down to me, and I was waiting for the day to come when my brother would outgrow or get tired of that bike, and it would become mine. It would be given to me. There are also traditions that are handed down among families, especially at this time of year. I think Thanksgiving and Christmas are probably the two times of year when most of us have our deepest family traditions, and often those things are handed down from one generation to the next. Some children, I haven't known many, but a few in my lifetime, get handed down a fortune to them when their mom and dad pass away. Well, I grew up in a wonderful home, as most of you know. I was blessed to have two parents who loved us very much. But my parents have never been rich in the things of this world. I know some folks say they grew up poor, and many did. But I look back on our early days, my early childhood, and we had very little when I was young. My parents made a decision 2 years before I was born, actually, to leave everything and move to the middle of nowhere in Australia to devote the rest of their lives to telling others about Jesus. And we truly had very little growing up. I have an old black and white photograph somewhere in an old album of my mom standing outside over a big black pot with a fire underneath. And that's how she used to wash our clothes back in those days. Ladies, are you a little bit more thankful now for your automatic do-everything washing machine? But I remember those days as a boy. I remember having homemade toys when I was a boy. My dad would break slats off of old wooden orange crates, and he would take a long piece and then nail a shorter piece across it, and that became our sword. And we would take the old metal trash can lid. You remember those round metal trash cans with the raised handle on it? We would each get one of those, and that would be our shield. And they smelled awfully bad, but they worked great. And I remember growing up with those kinds of toys. Didn't have a clue at the time. We were perfectly happy. We wanted nothing. My dad said to me one day, a number of years ago, we were talking about some deep things and talking about life and eternity and children. And he said, "Phil, you need to know your mom and I aren't going to leave you any money when we die, because we've tried to give away everything that we get." And they literally do just that. But then he said, "There's one thing I can leave with you, and that's a legacy of knowing Jesus Christ." And he said, "I hope that you'll pass on that same legacy to your children when it's your time to go." You know, there are times when I pause and I just sit quietly in thankfulness for being so blessed to have been given that kind of legacy. I'm so thankful that I've had that handed down to me. And now God has blessed me with children. We have Caroline and Nick, 20 and almost 18, who are genuinely the delight of my heart. And when it's my turn to leave this world and hand something down to them, yes, I want them to know how much I love them. I want them to know how proud I am of them. I want them to know how much they've meant to me. I want them to know that there are no two other people in the whole world that I would rather have for my children than them. But most of all, I want them to know that their father, this broken, flawed man with so many failures and shortcomings, was a man who deeply loved Jesus and wanted more than anything else in all the world for them to know and love Jesus too. I want to know that I can say to them with certainty, and that they can say to me with certainty, if I don't see you here, I'll see you there. We've probably all had things handed down to us over the years, but the truth is we're all handing down things right now, whether we know it or not. We're handing down certain things to those who are coming behind us, whether it's our children or whether it's just others who are looking to us. Maybe we're not even aware of it. And I'm even speaking to you students tonight. You're handing things down to people around you who are watching you. And out of all the things we could pass down to those who come after us, the thing God wants us to pass down is the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you tonight, the only reason that we're even able to hand down that gift to our children and to others who come after us is because God first handed that gift down to us. On that first Christmas night, 2,000 years ago, God handed down His Son to a sinful world, the first Christmas gift that was ever given. Galatians 4:4 says, "When the time was just right, God sent His Son into the world." And that first Christmas truly was, in a very real sense, a hand-me-down Christmas. Hebrews 2:9 tells us that Jesus was made, listen to this, a little lower than the angels. And He did not puff Himself up with pride and say, "I would never do that." No, He willingly was made a little lower than the angels. Philippians 2:7 goes further and tells us that He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. 2 Corinthians 8:9 tells us that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor. It didn't look like much, that first Christmas gift, this bundle wrapped in cloths, born in a stable, lying in an animal's feeding trough. It didn't look like much. And yet that gift was the hope of mankind, the Savior of the world, Jesus. And every one of us need that gift. We need that gift because we've all had something else handed down to us, whether we're aware of it or not. 1 Peter 1:18 describes it as the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. And that empty way of life is called sin. And it brings death to everyone. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And that awful, awful impending judgment is hanging over every single person who's ever been born. That's why this time of year, Christmas, means so much to us. It's not just another holiday, folks. I hope we know this. Christmas is not like Valentine's Day or St. Patrick's Day or New Year's Day. There's no other day on the calendar besides Easter that even comes close to Christmas. This is the time of year we remember that God humbled Himself. He stepped down from heaven. He took on human flesh. He knew what it felt like to laugh with people. He knew what it felt like to be hated by people and abandoned by people. The Bible says He understands our weaknesses. He's endured everything that you and I have endured. And not only did He come to experience that, but He came to give His life as a ransom for all. The Bible says that everyone who accepts that gift of Christ will receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life. John 3:16, boy, we know this verse so well, don't we? Do we listen to it still? For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. He gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This Christmas, you may get all the gifts you've ever hoped for, but may I ask you, have you ever received the one gift you really need? The one thing that is going to matter when your life is over. All the other gifts you and I receive throughout time will end up one day in a junkyard. This gift of Christ, is the gift we need more than any other gift we could ever receive in our lifetime. And tonight, God's gift that we celebrate here at Christmas, the gift of Christ coming into the world, that gift is being handed down to you once again. Will you accept it? I only quoted half that verse a moment ago when I said the wages of sin is death. That's awful news. It's an awful thing to talk about at a Christmas Eve service. But the rest of the verse is great news. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray that this Christmas, every one of us can say with certainty that we've received the greatest gift that has ever been given, the gift of Christ. Do you know him tonight? Do you know Christ? 2,000 years after God stepped down and took on the form of a baby, 2,000 years later, we can know him. Because even though he was crucified 33 years later, 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And he lives forevermore. And he's here tonight. And he stands ready to receive any and all who will come to him. You say, Phil, you don't know my past. Let me tell you, I don't need to know your past. God knows your past, and he's already paid for it all. He's already forgiven you of it all. You just need to come and receive this Christmas gift. I pray that for all here tonight who have received that gift, who do know Christ, that tonight you'll celebrate with thanksgiving and joy that you know Christ, that you have eternal life. But I pray just as earnestly that if you're here tonight and you've never received the gift of Christ, that before you leave this place, you'll simply, from the quietness of your heart, cry out to him and say, Lord, I know I am a sinner. I know that I'm lost without you. I don't stand a chance before God without your forgiveness. Will you please come into my life? I receive the forgiveness you've already made available. Become my Savior and become my Lord. And this Christmas can be your greatest Christmas of all.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
Of my heart.